It's time once again for Sports Talk. I'm your host, KOSU's Michael Cross, along with sportscaster and journalist Brent Weber. Brent, the Memphis Grizzlies managed to tie the first round series against Oklahoma City Monday night, but not without a battle in overtime. And what are your thoughts on the first two games between the Thunder and the Grizzlies?
You know, this is what we should expect. The Grizzlies played their type of game. I think the Thunder may have actually, and oh my gosh, it just popped into my head, a little bit of, is this a metaphor, that they may have poked the bear in game one a little bit, because their head coach alluded to, but didn't directly say, but I got his point. I asked him a question about Tony Allen, the former OSU Cowboy. Before the game, I was underneath in the tunnel when they were warming up, getting ready to come out and kind of getting themselves all revved up. And Tony's pretty vociferous and pretty crazy and getting his team going. And he was screaming, pretty much yelling out, this means more to us than it does to them. This means more to us than it does to them. It doesn't mean anything to them. In other words, and then I asked him a little bit about that, the head coach, and he said, he didn't directly answer that, but what he did answer was that the Thunder may have gotten a little too cocky with their big lead in game one. He made the point that when his team was on top late, that he said, our guys weren't celebrating. We knew that a 6-point lead with a minute to go wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. You know, we weren't doing any of that stuff. We came, you know, he said, because they hit us hard in game one, and we know they did. And so I kind of got that they made that a little bit of a rallying cry, that they're not going to roll over again. You may have poked the bear a little bit. However, this isn't last year's Thunder team. They really are healthy. Mm-hmm. And so I think there are a couple of things that should make OKC folks feel good. I didn't expect them to run the table against Memphis, you know, last week. I remember last mm-hmm. time I was saying I didn't even want them to play Memphis.
That's right.
I was already lining Memphis up with San Antonio in that mm-hmm. one. So I didn't want to see Memphis because they're just a team that can extend you.
Yeah, Zach Randolph, every time I see him, I want to go, Randolph! You know, he just. But what about that comeback Monday night with that shot, the 4-point play that Durant made was just an amazing. It's almost too bad they lost in overtime.
And Kevin didn't want to talk about it. And he was upset post-game press conference. I get it. That's the attitude you're supposed to have. Yeah, it was crazy. That was a crazy 4-point play. And then overtime came, and it was just like they weren't there.
Yeah.
It was one of those where they ran out of gas. Now, I've alluded to a couple of things this week, and I kind of want to clarify my points. I think I might have said them on the morning wrap-ups with Nicole, but, you know, I made the point that in the postseason, depth is great. It's really important to have the kind of depth the Thunder have. The Thunder can run 10 deep on their roster. On the other hand, in the playoffs, if you talk to Popovich, look at the great teams of the past, teams that make runs once they're healthy, they'll usually do what they call they'll shorten their rotation. Mm-hmm. So if they normally have a rotation of about 10, which the Thunder kind of can work through 10 or 11 guys, they'll shorten it down to 8 guys. Here's both things apply to the Thunder. If you have the depth they have, it enables them to do matchup differences. They used a different type of lineup in game one as opposed to what they did in game two. We saw very little of Nick Collison until late in game two. We saw almost no Thabo Sefolosha in game one. It was a matter of matching up. So in that way, they have more pieces that are experienced from this year that give them more depth. On the other hand, you know, I would like to see Scott Brooks be able to shorten that rotation. The problem, the problem there is a team like Memphis, they changed the way they approached that game. I mean, they really clogged the middle, and then they really spread the perimeter out defensively. So they forced the Thunder to either get a bloody lip, no problem. Russell Westbrook maybe a little over energetic a few times, or to shoot the 3-pointer when you weren't in your spot. They pushed the Thunder shooters off their spot, and I think OKC may have been, and I don't want it to sound like they were cocky, but they were amped in a weird way. They were willing to take things that was a little bit out of their game plan, And that got Memphis a win.
Now, the first round of the NBA playoffs has certainly been interesting, record-breaking even, with five home teams losing in game one. Is that a shocker to you?
Not really. I mean, I'm a little bit worried, in fact, for the game about Indiana. Mm-hmm. You know, as poorly as they looked for, you know, oh my gosh, in the Hawks, the first game against the Hawks. But on the other hand, you know, they're at home again, so they'll have an advantage. I say I worry about it because they were the good story for two-thirds of the season in the NBA. They were a really cool story and the only story in the East other than you know who, Miami. I think that it's going to line up in the end. I don't really think that there are many teams that can run that are strong enough, mature enough. I think the Heat and the Spurs and the Thunder I would be shocked if somebody knocked the Heat out, and I would absolutely be shocked if it wasn't the Spurs or the Thunder.
This is a more open table where just about anybody could win, really.
You know, there is up to that point. You know, I just don't think – I think those teams will win the rest of them. Is there much of a difference between the two seed, clearly the three seed in the East and the eighth seed in the West and vice versa? I don't think there is. Mm-hmm.
Now, the Thunder isn't the only Oklahoma City team entering the postseason. The Barons start the first round of the AHL playoffs tonight against the Texas Stars. Now, how well do you think Oklahoma City will do?
I think they are a great story in sports, and I know that we have great good hockey fans here. They love their team. I'd like to see some people who just like attending a good family sporting event get out to the arena during the playoffs because they were out of the picture. They were three or four teams behind in the playoff hunt. And their parent club, by necessity, it's the way it is in the NHL, they're the top affiliate for an NHL team. They were just taking their players over and over and over. They had injuries. And somehow they just kept winning here this last month or so. And then they win a big 4-3 overtime game to clinch it at home. But now they've got, you know, Roman Horak back. How's that for us? That's a hockey name, right? Anton right. Lander. Those are hockey names, right? And those guys are in Barons uniforms now. And they get good, solid goaltending. Who else has a guy named after Stephen King, right? Richard Bachman. King. And Richard Bachman, the goalie for the Barons. He even wears Stephen King-influenced masks.
Really?
Yeah. So there's a, you know, there's just some – it's fun out there. It's fun out there. So if you haven't been able to catch a hockey game – I really do think that it'd be great if you were able to get into the Calder Cup playoffs and see how far they can go. Last year, they were picked to win it all. They had the best season, I think, well, their best season since starting up as the Barons, and they didn't make it to winning the championship. Well, maybe this year they can make a little fun run and get some fans behind them. But I think it's a really neat time, and it's good to talk about it.
And we'll talk more about them as we go, hopefully, further on in the playoffs. Brent Weber is a freelance journalist and sportscaster and author of The Sports Guy, Scorecard Scribblings from an Ordinary Journalist. You can find Brent on his website at scorecardscribblings.com.